Good afternoon. So I am a fill-in. I am filling in for Bud Wright, who is the executive director of ASHTO, and a true talking head if ever there was one. So I don't have any of those attributes whatsoever. And actually, his predecessor is in the room, John Horsley, who is also on your board of advisors for this event. So how many of you have heard me speak before? Right, so hopefully you would say that normally I use a PowerPoint, which I do, and two, I generally try to incorporate a lot of humor into my presentations because I just do. I'm not going to use a presentation today, and I'm going to try to limit the humor because I don't know that rural safety is something that we should be joking that much about. And I'll start by saying I have picked up this mantra of towards zero deaths, and I got to say we're going the wrong way. We're going the wrong way, and I, as the head of a DOT, just racked sometimes by the fact that there are literally tens of thousands of people dying on our roadways every year. And when I say we're going the wrong way, you know, in Colorado, and I'm supposed to give the state's perspective, and I will blend both the state perspective, my other state perspective, because I was a secretary of transportation in Delaware, and I was a deputy executive director in Kentucky, but also with the federal perspective here a bit, because I want to honor what Bud would have talked about, because it's a problem for all of us. I'll tell you, I checked before I got here, or this morning, we had 546 fatalities last year on our roadways, right? That was about a 10% increase from the year before. And so that's bad. Right, and just think about this. You know, we're hearing from the CDC if 33,000 or 34,000 Americans, if somebody showed up tomorrow and said, "I've got this great invention. It'll kill 34,000 Americans, but by God, it's got a lot of benefits to it." Would we accept it? Right? It's like Sir Walter Raleigh showing up with tobacco today. Right? You'd be like, "Yeah, I think we have enough science now to say that that's not a good thing to follow." Well, today, this morning, I checked if our fatality rate holds. At this point, we're not going to see a 10% increase this year. We're going to see about an increase of 10, right? So I guess that's good news from the standpoint of it's not a 10% increase. It's bad news, though, because that tells me that last year was not an anomaly, right? That 10% increase was not a blip on this downward trend, right? So I sort of start that by saying it's motorcycles. It's distracted driving. It's all of those risk factors. They're all up. And so it is our job and our responsibility to do what we can, when we can, by any means that we can, in order to make this situation better. And those of you who have worked with me, and I was a secretary in Delaware, I was at Federal Highways, I was a deputy in Kentucky, many folks who have worked with me have often said, "Gosh, you know, why are you always pushing, right? Why do you always push? Why is it when somebody says it can get done in a year, you say, why can't we do 9 months? Or why can't we do it a little bit quicker?" And I'll tell you, it is because if we do things faster and we get things done and we make improvements more quickly, by God, there are improvements and safety improvements that get done in our roadways that save lives. And so I just want to start. Let me just start with a quick story, if I can. Before I was a deputy in Kentucky, I was a lowly MPO director. And actually, I shouldn't say that lowly in the sense of MPO director is a great job, but I was the MPO director for the smallest MPO in the country, I think. I was the MPO director for the Bowling Green, Warren County MPO in Kentucky. Anybody been to Bowling Green? Hilltoppers. Let's go. And actually, all the Corvettes in the country are built there. So when I was the MPO director in Kentucky, I was also the 10 counties surrounding it, the regional transportation coordinator. And I got a call from the mayor of a town of Smiths Grove. I know nobody here has heard of Smiths Grove. You have heard of it. Are you from Kentucky? Okay, well then. Thanks for skewing my sample. So Smiths Grove was a railroad boom town, right? And then the railroad went away, and a lot of the people went away. So I think it has a population of about 2,000 people. But in Kentucky, that's a fairly significant place. So I get a call from the mayor, and he said, "You know, I want you to come out here on Monday morning at 7 a.m. Can you do that for me?" I was like, okay. So I go out there, and he takes me out about a quarter mile outside the town limits. And he says, "Just wait here with me." So we wait there, and about 15 minutes later, I see it. I understand. There are all these elementary school kids who are walking along the side of this U.S. highway on the shoulder as they walk to the school, because the school district had done what a lot of school districts do. They found a cheap piece of land, and they built a school outside of town, no sidewalks, no nothing. And he says to me, I need $200,000 to build a sidewalk from the city limits to the school. Can you help me get that? And for this town, $200,000, it might as well have been $250 million. He had no way to raise that money. So I went and I fought with the folks up in Frankfurt at KYTC for some TE money, some enhancement money to make it happen. And I was like, it's the right thing to do. A few weeks later, I got a call saying, hey, we're going to give you the money. We'd actually like to hire you as a deputy executive director. There were some bad things going on at KYTC at the time, some FBI investigation. So I said, thanks, but no thanks. Then they told me the salary, which was double my car. I was like, I could really get behind this. I actually have the great privilege, having been a leader in transportation, there's a couple of important projects. There's a big bridge, the Indian River Inlet Bridge in Delaware, which if you go, is like this, massive bridge over the Indian River Inlet, and there's a plaque with my name on it. Right, which is pretty cool. Like nobody else cares, but someday I'll take my family down there and show them this bridge. I was the secretary when it was commissioned. I promise you, there is no plaque in Smiths Grove, Kentucky, that shows that those sidewalks have anything to do with me. But I keep that story with me because one, it was an inflection point for my career, and two, I just think of those kids walking alongside a highway with all of those trucks and how dangerous it was, and we made it better. And we can do that. We can do that everywhere. In this country, it just takes some time, some effort, and some caring. So I start with that, and I'll also tell another quick story. Last year, I get all the fatality notices in my email, right? I get all the traffic email stuff, and then I see and then generally when there's a fatality, they'll say fatality. And we had a kid last year who was driving from Houston to, I think he was going to Durango or Grand Junction for prom. And he was going over Red Mountain Pass, and they found him and his remains and his car, and he had driven off of Red Mountain Pass, which if you've driven Red Mountain Pass, it is true to its name. It is a mountain pass, and it's dangerous, and there's no guardrail because there's no place to put guardrail, right? And I just think of that kid's family getting that call, your son who is going to a prom in Grand Junction, didn't make it, and he's not coming home. And I hate to just rain on your hopeful, all the hopeful upturned faces that were in the room before I started talking, but this is... this is real life. This is a big deal for us. And to sort of corroborate the evidence that we have, we had 546 fatalities in Colorado last year. 50% of those fatalities were in rural areas. But only 14% of the population in Colorado lives in rural areas, right? And so this is why it is so important for us that we do what we can. Now, I'm going to switch from the doom and gloom to hope for the future. So I say that, how many members of Team CDOT are here? I see Lisa's here. Anybody else? Put your hand up if you're with Team CDOT. So I always say that the purpose of a DOT, we have two reasons for existence. And I say that we save people's lives and we make people's lives better. Right? That's it. That is essentially, at the end of the day, why do you exist? We exist to save people's lives and make people's lives better. And we do this in a bunch of ways. Right? So when it snows in Colorado, our men and women in orange shirts go out and we plow the roads. And I promise you we save people's lives because Colorado is the one state I've been in where, in the other states when it snows, people have the good sense to buy 3 loaves of bread, 4 gallons of milk, and stay home, right? In Colorado when it snows, woohoo! Let's get out there, right? And my 1999 Ford Taurus with bald tires, that's just going to be... the way to get up there. So our men and women go out and save lives. It's not just true here in Colorado, right? The men and women in DelDOT went out and responded to Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Irene, or Superstorm Sandy, Hurricane Irene. In Kentucky, we had lots of flooding and other issues. So we save people's lives. But we also make people's lives better. And we do that in a number of ways. And those of you who are traffic engineers or planners, you're always thinking about how do I make this better? How do I make this safer? How do I save people's lives or make people's lives better? And we have a lot of options that are on the table. So when I became the secretary, I said, this is our purpose, and I have set a goal for us as CDOT to become the best DOT in the country. And I see Blaine Leonard is here from Utah DOT. He's kind of hiding there in the back. And when it's kind of like being the old gunslinger in the West, right? If you're number one, everyone wants to take a shot at you. I'm here to take a shot at Utah DOT. I think Utah DOT is the best DOT in the country. And I want people to look to CDOT
as that sort of leadership. Because the logic here is not because of ego, but if we are the best DOT in the country, we will save more lives and make people's lives better. And from a rural perspective, we have a lot that we can do. So I think that one of the reasons that you saw that trend line, which was that as VMT has increased since, you know, vehicles were invented in the early 20th century to 1995, I think the line has come down, is because for 100 years we have been engineering vehicles and roadways to be as safe as they can be. Unfortunately, we're through a lot of that low-hanging fruit, right? So that 285 improvement that you were referencing, that's a big, expensive project. I have literally billions of dollars of safety improvement projects that I could go and engineer, but for the billions of dollars that I don't have. And in Kentucky, when I was there, we had a ton of roads that were literally, you know, people say they're farm-to-market roads. These were actually like goat tracks and roads that wild animals had sort of, you know, trails that they had carved through hundreds of years of being out there that were then widened into these sort of like rudimentary farm-to-market roads and then eventually got paved, right? And so that was the path of least resistance, that these roadways, and so we did things like roadway safety audit. Let's go in, I can't fix this switchback, but I can go in and I can cut back brush. I can find, I can put in higher friction pavements, right? There's just a lot of things. I can work on lighting. I can do a lot of different things. So it's not just about throwing money. It's about being intelligent. Two other things I will touch on is technology. One of the pictures that I've seen in presentations is, you know, there's a great shot of New York City, of Broadway in like 1900. And there's, you know, throngs of people and animal carts on Broadway. And then there's one car in the shot. And then 20 years later, it's the same shot. There's one horse cart. All the people are up on the sidewalk. And the street is full of vehicles, right? So in 20 years, that was an inflection point. It was a massive change. We are undergoing that same level of change right now with technology and transportation. Somebody mentioned they took an Uber from the airport. You couldn't take an Uber 6 years ago. Uber did not exist. It was not a thing. Pittsburgh has just announced that they're going to have driverless taxi cabs running around and picking people up. But technology is not just a urban panacea that's going to solve all of our urban issues. It has a huge rural component. We're talking about things like virtual guardrail here. So I can't put up actual guardrail on Red Mountain Pass, but I can put up roadside sensors and things that broadcast to vehicles that this is an area where the vehicle should slow down. And we can take the driver out of that equation. Federal Highways estimates that 80% of crashes can be eliminated through connected vehicle technologies. Well, we need to connect these vehicles in rural areas, because I'll tell you right now, one of the issues, and this is some of the economic development stuff that we need to talk about as well, is that I can have a lot of connected vehicles or autonomous vehicles if they don't have a signal through cellular, or they don't have DSRC and radio units, they're not talking to anything. And that is something that we have to figure out. This is one of the reasons that Governor Hickenlooper has talked about a broadband strategy using our rights of ways to connect rural communities. I think one of the issues we talk about rural safety, the health of these rural communities is incredibly important. And there's an economic development piece here as well that we can sort of eliminate two birds with one stone, if you will, which is we can connect rural communities with broadband and provide connected vehicle technologies that's going to help us cut down on this rate. So I would just say in closing that we have an incredible amount of work to do, and we have an ability to save lives and make people's lives better. So if you have ideas, I want you to know that Colorado DOT, and I think every state DOT in the nation would say, if you have an idea of something that we want to try, or an idea that you think, you know, maybe that might be something that I can't get somebody to bite, let us know. If there is any way that there's an idea out there that has some merit that we could go and try, and someday somebody's life is saved because of it, then shame on us if we don't try it. And the last thing I just want to say on the bike ped issue, bike ped is a big problem for us in urban areas. We've had a rash of cyclist fatalities this year. I'll tell you, one of the reasons we have less of a bike ped problem in the rural areas is because we have not built facilities for folks to get out there. In fact, we were up in Wolcott last week, and Jill Ryan, who's an Eagle County commissioner, we were working with a partnership between the railroad, Eagle County, CDOT, to provide a trail access to help connect our communities. And I'll tell you that from an economic development standpoint, you know, I get hit a lot in the I get hit sometimes from the right side of the aisle for making investments in bike ped. But the data shows it's a good investment. And two, rural communities are investing in bicycle and pedestrian facilities, not because they are somehow becoming hippie enclaves. It's because this is an amenity that is important to them, and they want it. And then the last point I just wanted to get in there is transit is another big issue that we need to talk about. People think of transit as a sort of a urban issue. And I'll tell you, in Colorado, some of our biggest adherents to transit and multimodal solutions are these rural communities, because as the population ages and they want people to stay in those communities, providing something other than just a single-occupant vehicle trip is incredibly important. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much for your passion and dedication, and let's get to work here. Thank you.